Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is taking us chapter by chapter, verse by verse, through the book of Ephesians. And coming up, we're concluding a message about the importance of unity amongst Christians. We're taking an in-depth look at chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, as we go back to basics.
You can't be a Christian and not believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead. But when you meet a person who believes those things and yet differs with you on other minor things like the method of how you baptize people or what your view on the scenario for the last days is, or just exactly what the mechanism for salvation might be, things like predestination, election, free will, these kinds of things that are so often the things that Christians war over. Those are the things that we have to be able to just say, you know what, that doesn't matter at this point. I have to let those minor things go and focus on the primary thing. This person believes in Jesus. This person is a child of my Father God, and this person is indwelt by the same Spirit that I'm indwelt with, so we are already one. And I've got to do my best to maintain that, so I have to just, some of these things I just have to overlook, realize that, you know, we're never going to agree on this, but it doesn't matter if we agree on it. We don't have to agree on it because it's not an essential. Now, that's where Paul, that's kind of the foundation of everything he's saying. He reminds us of that when he comes to verses 4 through 6, where he says, there is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So since that's the case, this is really what Paul's saying, since that's the case, the natural thing that should proceed from that would be love for one another and unity resulting from that love. It's the natural flow. So if we are people who tend to be divisive, or divisive is the proper way to say it, I guess, but if we tend to be those kinds of people, if we tend to always be looking to find fault with somebody's doctrine, well, they don't believe this and they don't believe that, or we tend to look down on other churches or other expressions of Christianity, then we are out of sync with God himself. He's not doing that because those are his children. And he's put his Spirit in them. And who are we to say? You know, I've found this more and more as I've gotten older and lived longer and experienced life more in ministry. I have met people who have told me their stories and, you know, given me their testimonies. And it's, you know, there's no question in my mind that the person's a believer. And not just a believer, but a true lover of God and a follower of Christ and a servant of his. And, you know, I've had occasions where people have told me their testimony. And, you know, I just think, wow. You know, a few years ago, I would have said, no way, you can't be saved. I won't allow for that. It doesn't fit into my theology of how God works. But I've had to learn over the years that God really doesn't consult me about how he's going to work in people's lives. And he's always blowing my mind with the things that he does that just didn't fit into the little box that I had put him in. You know, we talk about that sometimes, putting God in a box. There are a lot of people that have God in a box. They've got God in this little box, and he can only do these few things. He can only, you know, these are the parameters right here. Now, I agree that God works within the parameters of his word, but sometimes the problem is not the parameters of his word. The problem is we start interpreting the word so narrowly that, again, we end up at the same place. God can hardly do anything because it doesn't really fit with our theology. So we have to be careful. There's one God. He is the Father of us all. There's one Spirit. We are indwelt by that one Spirit. There's one body. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's only one church. And every single person on the planet who names the name of Jesus in sincerity and truth, every single person, regardless of the denomination that they belong to, that has embraced Christ as the Savior of their souls, that person is part of the family. You know, speaking from a purely human standpoint, I know this for a fact, nothing pleases a father more than love among his children. Oh, when a father, when parents see their children loving one another, that's so wonderful. It's so precious. It's so right. It's so good. It's so much what you want to see. A few months ago when we went through the crisis with our granddaughter and she had the open heart surgery, Cheryl and I, we were so blessed to see how our kids all rallied together, to see how my daughters took the time and went up and they were there with their brother and sister-in-law and their nephews and they were just helping out and serving and blessing them. And it was such a delight to us and to see how my younger son, although he wasn't able to go up and help out in that way, he was regularly, you know, on the phone and sending messages and encouraging and praying for them. And there really was a moment where Cheryl and I just thought, wow, this is amazing. This is so sweet. And of course, that's true, right? And you know what? The same is true with God. When God sees his children loving each other, it delights his heart. Nothing pleases a father more than love among his children. Few things grieve a father more than strife and division and animosity among his children. Oh, that's such a grief. And some of you know that. We know what it's like to have broken families, divided families, families that live in hostility toward one another. That's a heartbreak, isn't it? And for a parent, if you have that kind of a situation with your children, you see that, you just think, oh, Lord, have mercy. That's just so painful to see that. You hear them say negative things about their spouse. Sometimes you see jealousy or things like that, and you just think, oh, Lord, it's heartbreaking. Guess what? We have the ability to break the heart of God. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means that you can break God's heart. And surely this is heartbreaking to God when we would strike out against our brothers and sisters, when we would speak evil of them, when we would say unkind and untrue things about them. I have to tell you, honestly, I am shocked. I am absolutely shocked at the things that some Christians will say about other Christians. I'm shocked. Sometimes I read stuff, I think, wow, where did you ever get the idea that you could say stuff like that as a Christian? I mean, it's so crystal clear, you know, coming up, I'm reading this stuff on the internet, but man, it's like the hatred is seeping right through my screen. And I think, how did we ever get to a place where we thought that we could talk about people like this, especially people who are God's people? But so often we find these kinds of things, rants on the internet against some of God's servants. Sometimes I'll have somebody come up to me and they'll start, you know, going off on somebody that they perceive to be a false prophet. And you just, you know, their veins are all popping out of their neck and they're so angry and you know, you just think, wow, this is sad. This is really, really, this is pathetic. That we as Christians, that we would think that we have a right to talk about our brothers and sisters like that. You know, Paul rebuked the Roman church for gossip and things like that. And judging one another. And at one point, he asked this question. He said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Before his own master, he stands or falls. And God is surely able to make him stand. Who are we to think that we can stand in judgment of God, of another man's servant? Who's the other man? God is the other man. God, I don't like the way your child is acting. I don't like what I hear your child saying. Some people feel that they've been called to rebuke, to reprimand. They've been given a discernment ministry. They know all of the truth, and nobody knows the truth quite like they do. And they're going to correct everybody. I have no time for that. It's pathetic. That's not at all in sync with what Paul is talking about here. It's so opposite of Paul's exhortation here for us to walk worthy of the calling. No, we're to walk in lowliness, in meekness, in patience, in tolerance, in love toward one another. And if we don't agree, we need to learn to just say, you know what, okay, I see it differently than you do. But I'm not going to think myself better. And you know, I hold strong convictions about certain things. And not everybody that I listen to, as far as somebody who would give me input in teaching or people that I appreciate in ministry, hold to the same convictions that I do about certain things. But, you know, because those things are non-essential, because they're not the core issues, I don't let that bother me. I want to hear them on the core issues. Boy, what they have to say on the core issues are vital to me. They strengthen me. They bless me. They build me up. We don't hold the same exact views on maybe the days of creation or something like that. We don't hold the exact same views on eschatology, which are the study of the end times. We might not even hold the same view on the work and ministry of the Holy Spirit. But we do hold the same view on God and Christ and salvation. And that's the important thing. Those are the vital things. And so those are the things that we really have to rally around. Now, I've had the experience over many years. You know, this is something that I had to learn, actually. I had to grow into this. Because years ago, I was kind of in a debate with a person a while back. And they were trying to prove their point that I'm this terrible person because I'm all compromised now. And they looked at me and they said, you've changed. You've changed. You're not like you used to be. And I said, you know, thank God I've changed. Yes, I have. I've grown up. I became mature. And I realized that we don't need to fight with other Christians about every little thing. When I was younger, I'd fight with anybody about anything. You didn't agree with me on this doctrine? Well, I wasn't going to let that sit. We were going to have to fight that one out. But you know, you grow, you mature, you realize, no, this isn't right. And over many years, God's taken me to many different places and introduced me to all different kinds of people from different denominational backgrounds and things. And I find myself associating with and working alongside of people from all different parts of the church. Anglicans and Methodists and Baptists and Presbyterians and Lutherans and Pentecostals and Catholics. And you know, I meet these people and it's like, wow, I don't even know their, you know, you just meet them as a Christian. You don't know their background. And then you get to know them a little better and you're obviously connected to them spiritually. You've got that spiritual bond there. And then you find out what their background is, denominationally maybe. And then you're like, wow, okay, yeah. Well, I know this person's really a believer. That's obvious. So the Lord has allowed me to have those kinds of experiences. But I know, frankly, many people today in ministry. They've kind of just been in their this one little part of the body of Christ, and they're sort of suspicious about everybody who's outside of it. And because that group out there, you know, no, they don't believe this like we do in that, then, you know, there's got to be something wrong. We need to stay away. Yeah, okay, I know we're related, but, you know, we don't want to talk about that. I'll love them from a distance. Well, no, that's not the way it works. We need to love, truly. And so, endeavoring to maintain the unity of the Spirit. So God has given me those kinds of experiences. And like I said earlier, I've met people and I've heard their stories and I've just been astounded at God's grace and how creative he is and how he works in ways that you know, maybe because of your own particular theological view, you wouldn't think that he could work that way, but he does. Reminds me of Peter. Peter, because of his Jewish upbringing, he just didn't think that God could do anything among Gentiles. And then he's called to go to the house of Cornelius. And he goes into the house of Cornelius and he finds that God's doing something that Peter never imagined God could be doing. And then when he goes through that experience and he comes back to Jerusalem and he tells the Jews there that he had gone into the house of this man, Cornelius, this Gentile. And they were like, are you kidding? You went into the house of a Gentile and you ate with him? Peter, what are you thinking? You're a Jew. You can't do stuff like that. God doesn't know. The guy's a Gentile. And Peter's like, I know. I felt the same way. But what can I do? I started sharing the gospel with him, and God poured the Holy Spirit on him just like he did on us. And they started prophesying and speaking in tongues. What was I to do? Say, God, you can't do that? I felt like Peter had sometimes. Wait, God, no, you can't do that. That doesn't fit in my theology. I don't believe that you could touch somebody by that kind of a method. But you see, this is where we just have to break away from that and recognize God is working. He's bigger than we think. And again, let me emphasize for anybody who might be in some way, shape, or form misunderstanding me, I am talking about the non-essentials. I already described what an evangelical is. That's what I am. That's what we are. People who believe in the Bible. People who believe in Christ, his death, his resurrection, his atoning death, the necessity of the new birth, those things. Those are the essential things. I'm talking about the other things that so often are the things that divide us. So God help us. God help us not to grieve our Father or stumble others through causing and spreading division. Rather, let's give every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit, first right here among us, but then toward the larger body of Christ. You know, one of the greatest ways in the world to have God connect your heart with his larger family is to pray for other Christians of other denominations. Pray for the Christians in our community. Pray for the other churches in our community. Pray for the other pastors in our community. We should pray for one another. And we need to support one another. When we hear of God doing something good in a church that's not part of our group, we should rejoice in that. We should be thankful for that. And there are times when we should all get together to reach out and you know, put our efforts together to get the gospel out to the community. Those are good things. They're right things. We need to do those things. But it really, praying for people, it can start there, and it can be so sweet. So, in closing, let's be ecumenical in the best sense of the word, having concern about the whole body of Christ and recognizing that God's people are everywhere under all different kinds of denominational banners. But then let's be evangelical in the truest sense of the word. We are inflexible when it comes to those essential doctrines. We stand solidly on those. They are the non-negotiables. You know, yesterday I did a memorial service here for a friend's family. And in the course of the memorial service, because I didn't know the deceased, I shared with a group of people that my connection was through one of the family members. And then I told the story of that particular family member who's a friend of mine who we knew each other in high school. We were disconnected for 35 years. last time we had seen each other, neither one of us were saved. And then God brought us back together and, you know, in the Lord. And just, I was sharing this story and it was really sweet. And the people that were here, they kind of came from all the same community over in Huntington Beach over there. And they happened, many of them, to have gone as families to St. Simon and Jude Catholic Church over on Magnolia. And I had occasionally gone there as a teenager, and so I was familiar with that. And then I had gone to St. Bonaventure's over on the other side of Huntington Beach. So, you know, some of that came up in conversation. But anyway, when the service had concluded and we were over just talking in the fellowship hall with the family and different people, this precious lady came up to me and she said, "Oh, I wanted to meet you and I wanted to tell you how excited I was when you told that story today." She said, "Because a group of ladies and myself at St. Simon and Jude, for years and years, we prayed for that young man that he would come to know Jesus. And we are so thankful that God answered those prayers and brought him into a relationship with Jesus." And there it was, this little lady from St. Simon and Jude. Now, some people would say to me, "Did you tell her that Catholicism is of the devil?" I have to confess, I did not tell her that. I didn't even feel remotely compelled to tell her that. But you see, that's what I'm saying. Some people would insist on that kind of a thing. You know, whatever her affiliation is, I know what Catholicism is. I left it. I have lots of issues with Catholicism. But this is one thing I know. Within Catholicism, there are true believers. And I met one of them yesterday. She's a true believer. She was rejoicing in the salvation of a soul and recognizing that it was Jesus who did the saving. Man, I was blessed by that. So let's not lose sight of that. Man, when you meet another Christian from another denomination, another background, if they're really a Christian, you embrace them. One other story. I'm in story mode and... Oh, gosh, it's really late. Sorry. This is a good one. I'll close with this. A few years ago, I was up in L.A. And I might have told this story before, but we were doing this outreach in Watts. And so there's a guy there who was I think he was a fire chief or something like that. So we're standing there, and we got into this conversation, and it was just a great conversation. We're talking about the Lord and... you know, he's kind of just sharing his story with me and I'm telling him my story. And we were just having this great time of fellowship. And it's somehow in the course of the conversation, he told me about the church that he went to. And when he told me about the church that he went to, I just, in my own heart, I said, "Thank you, Jesus, that I'm not the critical person that I used to be." Because I would have never even thought that anybody who went to that church could even be saved in time past. But here I'm talking to a person who I'm absolutely convinced this person is a true believer. We're having great fellowship. But then he tells me that's the church he goes to. But I was thankful that God had done such a work in my heart that I didn't bat an eye when he told me. It didn't even faze me. I just thought, "Oh, God, you are amazing. You work sometimes in the strangest places, but you're still working."
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more spiritual insights from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Unity of the Spirit, and the resource number is BBE0026. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today. And we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, you reign forever. Our God.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.